Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak at pick number 10 on our guest mock draft series up to the Cleveland Browns now. Very excited to round out the top 10 here. If you guys missed any of the previous episodes, what we're doing is we're having an insider, a beat reporter, somebody who knows these teams really, really well. Come on, tell us about the team. Tell us where they're at, what their mindset is going into the draft, and then have them make a mock draft pick for it. It's been a lot of fun. So far, Joe Burrow went number one, Chase Young number two, Jeff Okuda three, Jedrick Wills went four, Tua Tagovailoa five, Justin Herbert six, Javon Kinlaw seven, that was a fun one, Isaiah Simmons eight, Derek Brown number nine to the Jacksonville Jaguars on the last pod. Now we are here with the Cleveland Browns. Ben, Cleveland, an exciting team. I think people were very excited about the Browns last year. This will be an interesting pick, right? Because this is, Baker Mayfield going into a big-time year.
Yeah, now I feel like now that we're in the tens, we're in the double digits, we can start asking questions about next season's expectations that aren't like, so how hard will you be tanking,
right?
Jaguars fans? actually start getting some hope for the 2020 season, so it should be fun.
Yeah, we're turning the page here, and to help us turn the page, to get us to that number 10 overall pick, we have Nathan Zagura, a senior media broadcaster for the Cleveland Browns, on the line with us. Nathan, we appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be with you guys.
Like I said before, the Browns were an exciting, fun team to look forward to, a fun team to say, hey, this could be a playoff team last year. Baker Mayfield going into his second year, and I just want to kind of turn back the clock a little bit, go to the beginning of the season. What was the vibe around Cleveland and around the Cleveland Browns fan base going into that 2019 season? Because, I mean, let's face it, the Browns aren't often these playoff contenders have that kind of hopes, or at least not as of late. This was something that was very prevalent in what people were looking forward to last year. So what was that mindset going into the year? And then really, how did they get to here? I mean, it wasn't the worst year, but they're sitting here picking in a top 10 overall pick.
Yeah, well, obviously last year, going into the year, we were the world's team. We were the hottest team going. You trade for Odell Beckham Jr. You got your quarterback in GQ, Odell in GQ, the Browns on the cover of Sports Illustrated. We were that media darling, the Cinderella, all the hype in the world. And then, as we know, we went out week one and ended up getting, taking a huge loss at home to the Tennessee Titans, who ended up to have a great season.
Yeah,
those
really.
The Tannehill Titans, those were the Mariota Titans, and it was at home, and it was a game you felt you were supposed to win to get it going, and it never got there. You got to 2-2 week four with a huge win in Baltimore, and you felt like maybe you had a chance, and it just completely unraveled. 6-10 was the final, and it was as disappointing a season. In fact, I would say in my time, and I've been with the Browns, this will be my eighth season, it was the most disappointing season we had. And yes, I realized we went 0-16 while I was there, and 1-15 while I was there, but we never had this kind of hype, this kind of belief where you felt on paper with Odell and Jarvis and Baker and Nick Chubb and all the talent, Myles Garrett and Demaryius Randall had been playing well, and Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams coming in. You felt like this was a team that was going to go for the playoffs, a team that could contend for the AFC North. And if you would have said, going into the season, Ben Roethlisberger is going to get injured after week one and be done for the year, the Bengals are going to end up with being the worst team in the NFL, you would feel pretty good about the Browns' chances to be, not only second in division, but probably first. And we know that didn't happen. So the execution wasn't there. It seems like, we just didn't have an identity. We didn't have a plan. And that's why after one season, the Browns felt they needed to make a change. And a big change was made. Sweeping changes were made. Out John Dorsey, in Andrew Berry, out Freddie Kitchens, in Kevin Stefanski. And once again, hope will begin for the Cleveland Browns fan base, but it's much more after last year. It's much more of a show me. We got to see it before we're ready to fully, take that plunge again. Because last year, everybody was all in. And I mean all in Cleveland. And that hurt. It hurt last year.
Yeah, I really like the way you framed that, because you said this was the most disappointing season because of the expectations. And then when you list all those star players for whom you had those expectations, every single one of them, but Demarius Randle's back. And so your immediate thought is, well, why isn't there the hype that there was around the Browns? Why aren't we right back on the wagon? And it goes back to the sweeping changes that you talked about in the front office and at the head coaching position, right? And everything that trickles down from the head coach to all of your coordinators and your positional coach. So when you talk about the more tempered expectations for 2020, is it because Browns fans just haven't seen it with Stefanski like they did in the back half of 2018 with Kitchens? Is it because they've been burned too many times and they kind of know now that they got to take it at a more careful and measured pace so they don't get ahead of themselves? Why isn't the level of faith at the same for Stefanski as it was for Kitchens, or just is it and we're all trying to be a little bit more careful this time around?
I would say that the faith is the same. I think people are being careful. My grandfather was an immigrant from Yugoslavia, and he had a saying, first time bitten by snake, second time frayed a lizard. And I don't know really what that means, but I can tell you for the Browns, it means he may be different, but we're still going to be nervous about everything, because last year when we really opened our hearts and really embraced this team, we were hurt in a way that, you know, it's hard. It's like if you think you're in love and you end up getting dumped, it's a little bit harder to open that heart again, to jump back in there. So I think people just want to see it. I'll tell you this, being in the building, couldn't be more impressed with, obviously, Andrew Berry, who I knew when he was here before, but the job they've done in free agency has been spectacular, getting their top targets, Jack Conklin, Austin Hooper on offense, Case Keenum, who I think you cannot understate the importance of what he'll bring to that quarterback room and bring to Baker Mayfield, having had his best season in the NFL back in 2017 when Kevin Stefanski was his quarterback's coach. So I think that, you know, you feel great about that. And then Stefanski is a guy that, you know, we didn't know much about, but as you got into it and the reference work on him was all top notch. Go to the combine and I didn't hear one bad thing. In fact, so many people kept coming up to me and said, you guys got a home run in Kevin Stefanski. And I'll tell you just from my interactions with him, the things that prepared, process, those are the two things, the two big words that stick out to me, is that I feel the Browns will be the most prepared team in the NFL week in and week out, and that's something that I don't think we've been able to say, unfortunately, in the past. And I think he will have a process for which all decisions are made, both in terms of football, in terms of roster building. It's not just about talent, it's about getting the kind of guys that they want, and I think that they've done that so far in free agency in terms of the mindset, what they're going to bring to the locker room, the makeup of all of that. So I've been very impressed so far. Again, it's easy to get excited in the off season. We need to see it on Sundays when football is able to be played. But you feel good about the direction and everything that's happening here with the leadership group of now Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. But for our fans, it's just simple. I mean, they were burned last year. Like you had people for the first time in, you know, since the Bernie Kosar days. You people were walking around with their chest puffed out. You were feeling good to be a Browns fan. It wasn't, oh, my God, you're a Browns fan. It was, dude, the Browns are cool. That's a cool team. You got stars and all that. And you're right. They are all back, and we've added to it. And I'll get into that in a second. That you feel even better about this team than you did a year ago, but you still have to see it. And I think the huge benefit, though, with bringing in Kevin Stefanski is you're bringing in that Kyle Shanahan, Gary Kubiak wide zone offense that is just, frankly, one of the most effective offensive schemes in the NFL. It's one of the reasons Austin Hooper wanted to come here. He saw it his rookie year with the Atlanta Falcons when Kyle Shanahan guided that team all the way to the Super Bowl, and he wanted to play in that system. Jack Conklin's played in a similar system with the Tennessee Titans, wanted to stay in it. And you think about our personnel on offense, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, two of the best wide zone runners in the league. You have the two tight ends set now with Hooper and David Njoku. On the outsides, Odell and Jarvis Landry. You solidified right tackle. I think we'll be able to address left tackle here shortly, even on this podcast today. And then you feel pretty darn good about everything happening on the offensive side of the ball.
We'll get to, you know, the centerpiece of all that. We'll get to Baker Mayfield in a second. But you mentioned the process and the preparation that Stefanski has had. And you definitely talked about his praise and how impressed you have been since he got in the building, and that's awesome to hear. You love when guys can hit the ground running with new teams, but I'm curious, since you are on the other side of the walls, if you will, you can see things a bit behind the scenes. We're in some interesting times right now, and I think that it's even more interesting for first-time head coaches. These guys that are getting into the building for the first time have their playbooks that they're getting to their guys, and there's just not as much connection with all the social distancing and the lockdowns and the facilities not being open than there is before. And I'd love to just get your take on maybe what it's been like, if you've seen any challenges or ways that they've been getting over that, or how they've been dealing with today's age as it is, and it stands where we're preparing for a draft and then obviously hopefully a season after that.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually just did a Zoom call yesterday with Coach Stefanski, and we talked about this actually at great length, and he gave huge praise to our IT department, our film department, and their ability to connect everybody. And he said, you know, I can be sitting at my, you know, at the island in my kitchen in the morning, having my morning breakfast and coffee, and I'm able to be connected with all of my offensive coaches as we're going through everything and how we're going to structure this in this unique time. And then I'm on a call with Andrew Berry and the scouts as we go through the draft. And so he's still having all of that interaction and interacting with our players. I was talking with Mac Wilson the other day, and he said, you know, I was just texting Coach, and he texted me back right away, yo. And so he's constantly in communication with these people. They can't talk football now. Now they should be, the Browns are supposed to be reporting April 6th. And we'll see if the NFL changes given the crazy climate and says, look, you guys can get your playbooks out to the players now so people can start going through these things remotely. And that's still to come. But I think it's a challenge for every organization. For a team that has to implement a new system, both offensively and defensively, with Joe Woods in as the new defensive coordinator, you would imagine that there are challenges. But, you know, I've talked to some of our guys and what they did on the offensive side of the ball with, even though they haven't been able to get their iPads, NFL.com made Game Pass available. So you can watch all 22 of the Minnesota Vikings from a year ago and watch that offense and understand what your role is going to be given the position that you play in this offense and already be doing your own work. So I think it's going to require a lot of initiative from the guys. I think it's going to require, obviously, a plan and a process and a preparation on the coaching side of things. And Kevin Stefanski certainly is all on that. He said, we have this plan if it goes this way and this plan if it goes that way. And the preparation of it and knowing they're going to have to teach in a different way than they would if people were physically with them in the building. And so I think the Browns are going to do everything they can. It's something that's going to affect every team in the league. And I'll tell you this, though, Kevin Stefanski will not make excuses. He said, there are no excuses. We can't speak anything to existence. All we can do is work, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, so you talking with coaches on Zoom calls, talking with players, you said that you talked with Mac Wilson. The linebacker position for Cleveland's really interesting to me because you draft Joe Schobert, you draft Christian Kirksey. They both have productive stretches for you, even if, sure, you know, Kirksey dealt with some injury and Schobert could be up and down. Both end up leaving in free agency. You've now got to reload that position. You had last year's draft picks in Sione Takitaki and Mac Wilson, who you brought up speaking to. We have new defensive coaching staff, and what is the plan at linebacker with the losing of two big-time free agents? Are they going to reload with the players they drafted last year? Obviously, that was a different front office. Or are they going to look to add more players to that position?
I think that you look at the linebacker position and you look at just the over-organizational structure, right, the overall with Andrew Berry there, Paul DePodesta as the chief strategy officer. They're going to be very smart about where money is allocated. And I think in their estimation, you know, $11 to $12 million a year for an off-ball linebacker who doesn't rush the passer or really cover the passing game is not where they wanted to invest heavy resources. And so you saw Joe Schobert get a massive deal and well-deserved, I would say. Love Joe Schobert with the Jags. And Christian Kirksey had only played 9 games in the last 2 years. And another guy that I couldn't say enough good things about, he goes back with Mike Pettine, who was here when he was drafted by the Browns in Green Bay. So you've got young guys. You mentioned Mac Wilson played a ton. Christian Kirksey towards Peck week 2. Mac Wilson was the starter for the last 14 games. So he's got a lot of experience, also comes from Alabama. I expect him to be a centerpiece of what they do in that room. Sione Takitaki fits more like a Sam to me, could maybe play some Mike. We'll see there. They brought in a veteran, B.J. Goodson, who started some for both the Giants and the Packers to come in the room. But I don't think they're done there. My sense of it is it's not necessarily a room where you're going to add another rookie unless somebody really falls into their lap in the early rounds. But my sense is they need another veteran in that room to kind of help guide these young guys along. But I think you'll see, and look, the truth of the matter is sub packages are the normal now. You're in sub all the time. So two linebackers are on the field, or even one linebacker with three safeties, sometimes depending on the flexibility of what you do, is going to be the norm. So it is an important room, but in this defense, you know, the defensive front is going to be significantly more important, and the defensive back is going to be significantly more important. And so I think they feel good with Mack Wilson. We'll see who else. They like B.J. Goodson, so they brought him into free agency. Taki's got a lot of raw talent. So I think they're good there, but I do think they want to add another veteran into that room to kind of help shepherd these young guys along.
Before we get to your pick and put you on the clock here at number 10, I mentioned it before, I want to talk about Baker Mayfield, and I just want to get your thoughts on what his second year was like. You've watched him since he came into the league, since he got into the building. Obviously, he really caught fire that rookie year, got everybody excited going into 2019. He was a big reason why there was so much faith that you alluded to at the beginning. Didn't have the year he wanted, but it's often a lot more of the quarterback, right? The quarterback receives too much blame, too much praise. People talk about that all the time. So what really was Baker Mayfield's 2019 season? And then where is the outlook for him? What kind of headspace and what kind of place is he going into this very crucial third year of his career?
Yeah, I think obviously, look, for everybody, it was a disappointing season. And I think for Baker Mayfield, it was as well. And I think it goes back to, as we said, a lack of identity on offense, a lack of trust, whether that's the offensive line, what he was seeing, what the play calls were against the schemes they were seeing, not really an opportunity to work with the new stud receivers. I mean, Odell Beckham, you know, missed much of the offseason. So did Jarvis. And, you know, you didn't get a lot of opportunities to really get on the same page. And I think that would be the story of the 2019 Cleveland Browns offense, just not on the same page. And so that affects everybody. That affects the quarterback. Clearly got better taking care of the football as the season went on. I still think tremendously talented. I also think, you know, a lot was going on for him last offseason. And he sat down with Aaron Andrews before our Thursday night game against the Steelers and said, you know, I wasn't as prepared for this season as I should have been in retrospect. And so I think we're going to absolutely get the best out of Baker Mayfield this year, from a preparation standpoint, from a focus standpoint, from a complete, you know, buy-in. And not only that, this offense is tailor-made for him. It does all the things that he does well. He's very accurate with the ball. He's accurate on the move and some of that, you know, the play-action boot game that you're going to see as a part of this. It's going to utilize the tight ends. The Browns targeted tight ends fourth fewest in the NFL a year ago. Now you bring in Austin Hooper and David Njoku's back. Now you're going to have those weapons, the things that he's comfortable with, and I think we're going to have a great season from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, you said that the offense is sculpted and perfectly suited for Mayfield's skill set. You referenced him earlier. I'm curious. I think this is also perfectly suited for Nick Chubb's skill set. And Chubb had a tremendous 2019 season for the Browns.
He did.
Right. And that running back class, which came out with so much hype in terms of availability and consistency, Chubb's probably been the best player from that group. Obviously, Barkley's got that wild talent, but he has dealt with the injuries. He wasn't on, I think, a team that got as much out of him early as the Browns have gotten out of Chubb, especially in 2019. So with Chubb, what's the ceiling now in a offensive system that's designed to really emphasize a talented running back and to get him on the move, one cut and go, get upfield? Are we talking about Nick Chubb's third season as being like one of the top running backs in the NFL? Is that a realistic outlook for him now that he's playing under Stefanski?
Of course it was last year. If Derrick Henry didn't rush for 800 yards in week 17, he's the NFL leading rusher a year ago. So I think, of course, he's one of the best running backs in the NFL. The wide zone scheme suits him perfectly. Last year at Pro Football Focus, they broke it down. He was one of the most effective outside zone runners in the game. You look at what Dalvin Cook did in this system. They've got Kareem Hunt as well. So, I mean, I think that would be the only thing that maybe would limit it. I think with the full season of Kareem Hunt, maybe you're going to get those guys working in tandem a little bit more than last year, where Nick Chubb was truly the main guy. But I think Nick Chubb is, frankly, outstanding, hard worker, doesn't talk, goes about his business. They call him old school. He is a tremendous asset for this team. Incredible physical specimen, incredible shape, incredible worker, just an incredible kid. And, yeah, I think the sky's the limit for him. I think he's one of the best running backs in the NFL, period, bar none, end of story. He can run it. He's a much better receiver than he gets credit for and wasn't really used that way last year. He will be, as you guys know, in this offense. I think I can't say enough good things about Nick Chubb.
All right, let's put you on the clock here. Number 10 overall, we've talked a lot about offense. We have talked some about the defense, but if the board fell this way, Nathan, where would you see the biggest add and the biggest impact coming from? Who's the guy that you're targeting? Who are you making a Cleveland Brown for 2021 and could really help this team bring to fruition a lot of that faith the fan base had over the last 2 years?
Yeah, no doubt. If Isaiah Simmons was on the board, I would have to think long and hard about it. But this really is a dream scenario for general manager Andrew Berry. The biggest need for our organization, and has been since the day Joe Thomas retired, is a left tackle. And this draft lines up that not only when you go to the podium right now at number 10 is your biggest need available, it's also the best player on the board. And I think that's, when you're a GM, that's what you want. You're drafting for need and the best player, and it all lines up in a perfect synergy. And that's what the Browns have here at number 10. And the pick will be offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. That's the position they've needed. Wirfs put on an athletic showcase at the combine. This kid is Big Ten tested, which is, you like that from an offensive line standpoint. Kirk Ferentz, he's going to have good technique. He's a physical freak. And when you think about the wide zone scheme, what you need is movement skills. You need athleticism from your offensive linemen, the ability to get to the next level, the ability to get out in front on these wide zones and these stretches. And that's why Jack Conklin came to the Browns. He's one of the best at that on the right side. And now they get the guy on the left side in Tristan Wirfs. And you think about this offense that would roll out there on opening day, and it would sound a little something like this. Nick Chubb in the backfield, Baker Mayfield at quarterback, Odell on one side, Jarvis on the other, Austin Hooper at tight end, David Njoku at tight end, and then your line would be the number 10 pick Tristan Wirfs, perennial Pro Bowler Joel Bitonio, one of the most underrated and I think should be a perennial Pro Bowler at center J.C. Tretter, and then at right tackle, a former first-team All-Pro Jack Conklin, and at right guard, they have Wyatt Teller and Drew Forbes, both of whom are regarded well in our organization, and you've got the venerable Bill Callahan as your offensive line coach, not to mention a fullback is back in Andy Janovich, and Kareem Hunt, who I didn't even get to. And this offense has everything it needs to be dominant. And that's why I think Tristan Wirfs, that bookend to protect the blind side of Baker Mayfield for the next decade.
Whoo! Well,
I can't keep the hype down now, yeah.
I was getting, if nothing else, and I sure hope it's a lot more than just this, I'm going to be picking the Browns quite a bit in Madden next year, is all I'm saying. After
they're
that,
they're going to be fun in Madden. There's no doubt about that.
There is no doubt about that. Nathan, we really appreciate you joining us, getting us caught up on everything. Good luck this season. We really hope it's a fun one for you guys.
You got it. Thank you. And believe me, so do I.
I bet. A lot more fun when you're winning, going deep into the season and doing playoff runs, no doubt. We got two more weeks until the draft is here. New York Jets coming up next at number 11. You guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.